the minute I lose passion, I'm going to find something else to do. You know, maybe I'm blessed that way, but to me, I got to be passionate what I do. So every morning I wake up and try to create another camp, whether it's going to be a songwriting camp, whether it's going to be a women's only camp, whether it's going to be a heavy metal camp, a classic rock camp, you name it. I try to be creative every day and keep that passion in myself. So if there's one message that I hope that people get today is to get passion back in their lives, because that will keep you living many years.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. You guys do great stuff. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for being here week after week. This week, I have got an amazing, phenomenal guest. This is different from a lot of things we have done in the 300 plus episodes we've been on this show. This is something that is completely different. David Fischoff is with us. He is the producer, the brain, the idea man behind the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. So David, welcome to the show and let's get into this.
Hey, Ben, thanks for having me. I mean, it's been fun. The last 25 years, changing people's lives through Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, just a fun, fun experience.
First of all, I want to give a shout out to Marlena Sermanza for introducing us. I always botch her last name, and I'll bet you when I have her on the podcast, I think it's about 3 weeks from now. You know, I'm going to botch your name as well.
You know, I saw her photos. You know, I did her podcast. I got so excited because I just think it's such a different angle that she comes from. And I invited her to come to the Women's Only Rock Camp Mother's Day weekend because I wanted her to follow women going through this experience. And then hopefully she can put it in museums and really create an exhibition about it, because I really think it's something unique.
The people you got, let's just give you a quick plug for this thing. I think it's May 6th to 9th, if I remember correctly. And you got Melissa Etheridge, who I love. I saw Melissa 30 plus years ago in little dive bars in Victoria when I went to the University of Victoria. So that's how long I've known Melissa Etheridge. You got Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's, Nancy Wilson from Heart, Orianthe. I think I'm too old to know who this person is.
Michael Jackson's guitar player and just a solo artist. And you know, Kathy Valentine just went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year with the Go-Go's. Nancy Wilson, Heart, is a member of the Hall of Fame. But, you know, to put all these women together, and I'll tell you, it was not an easy thing to find a schedule to get them all together. Now, Mother's Day weekend. But I have to say, when I reached out to all of them, it was, wow, let's do it. Let's do it. So everyone loved the idea. And so I'm excited about that camp. We have another upcoming camp with Desmond Child doing songwriting. So, you know, while we were doing bands for so long, we're trying to find other ways that we can share the experience. So it'll be quite interesting.
We're going to talk about experience. We're going to talk about how does translate into corporate? How does this enable people in corporate just to find different parts of themselves and be able to be better versions of themselves? But what I want to start off with is a deep dive into the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. What brought this about? And give us a little bit of a history of where you came from, because there's a great story out there between you and who was it? It was
Joe Walsh, Levon Helm.
There we go. We're going to get into that. But we also want to get into you and the Beatles connection. I definitely want to get into you and the Beatles connection. So start the story and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, that's a long question. So everybody get your cup of coffee, and Ben and I are going to talk for a long time here. I started in the Catskills, and I was booking comedians and singers, and it was quite interesting working the Catskills, because the comedians, they would have to get up at 10:30 at night following a singer, and they had to entertain an audience that had been stuffed three meals a day. I mean, you ate in the Catskills. Let's face it. If you went up to Concord, you went to Grosvenor's, Neverly, Cutcher's, any of those hotels, you would start off your mornings at 7:30. You'd go to a coffee shop. You would eat for free, cakes, coffee. Then you'd go to eat breakfast. You'd eat omelets. You would eat oatmeal, lox, smoked fish. Then you went back to the coffee shop, ate more cake. Then you went to lunch and you had more food and pasta and fishes and latkes. And then you went back to the coffee shop because you might not have had enough. And then you went to dinner, and dinner was amazing. As a waiter, I worked up there. You know, I just want a side of a steak, just steak, no sides, a side of chicken. Give me a side of an animal. I'll take a whole side of an animal. the way these people eat in the Catskills. Now they eat. And that's an activity. Eating is an activity.
It was a daily thing. That's what you did. You went up there to eat.
That's what you did. You went to, you know, eat. And now at 10:30 at night, be entertained by a comedian and a singer. So the singer would open up at 10:30, do a bunch of songs, and then the comedian would come on. Now these comics, to entertain at 11 o'clock at night with all those people stuffed was really hard. So these comics were the most greatest entertainers. Why? Because they had to make these people laugh. Unlike people that go to a show and they buy a ticket to a show and they stand there like, they start laughing, they applaud. These people sit back and they say, okay, I dare you to entertain me. I dare you to make me laugh. Because if you make me laugh, my whole food's going to come out. Everything I eat today is going to come out. So they're scared to laugh. So now you would get comics like Larry Best who come out and say, you know what, it's a pleasure to be here. And all of a sudden, about 5 chiclets would come out of his mouth. He said, I had to go to the dentist today. You would see, you know, like mocking his teeth came out. Or another comic would come out and say, it's a pleasure to be in my favorite hotel. And they'd look, the Concord Hotel in Kiamisha Lake. I mean, these guys were so funny. And they all started, Milton Berle, Jack Carter, Jan Murray, David Brenner. They all starred in the Catskills. So,
and this is where they went to get to test new material.
Went to test new material. You went to really entertain an audience. And it wasn't easy. But when you went out to the real world, when you opened up for Tom Jones, or you opened up in a comedy club or a theater around the United States or Canada, you got huge laughs because you really, in order to make these people laugh up in the mountains, you had to really have great shtick. I started up there. I started booking acts up there. You know, from there, I learned, give people the hits. People want only hit songs. Don't let your artists do songs and new songs, because that's when people take the bathroom break. So for years and years, I've always presented concert tours. I would put bands together. I created the Happy Together tour. I created Ringo and his all-star band. I created Dirty Dancing as a live tour. I got into the packaging business of packaging tours, because that's basically what they did in the Catskills. We packaged these comedians. We would own them for the whole summer. We would book them wherever we wanted to book them. And they would have to do those shows, but we guaranteed them 50 shows. And my whole thing was to these artists only do hit songs. So that was number one, because I really believe that you want to keep people entertained. And if they start thinking about other ideas, you know, in their life, then they're not being, and then it's not 100%. I want them to really think of the show. So that was my start. I started in the Catskills. And then I met a fellow named Herschel Bernardi, the late actor. And I was like 20 years old, and I would book him for an organization. And I started booking him, and he said to me one day, get out of the Catskills. Now, Herschel was a star Fiddler on the Roof. He was a TV show actor, Arnie. He also was a voice of Zenith. You Lock It In, We Lock It Out. He was Charlie the Tuna. He had such a diverse career in show business. And he really said, David, get out of the Catskills, and brought me out to the real world. And I started representing athletes, professional athletes. And I did that for many years. I had some of the greatest ball players, you know, from Phil Simms, Mark Bavaro, Lou Piniella. And I got bored after a long time because it was really about show me the money. And it really wasn't being creative. And I was sharing office space with so many music managers, Shep Gordon, who had Alice Cooper, Gary Kurfiss, who had the Talking Heads, the Ramones, and they all had gold records on the wall. I want to be able to do something creative. So I got a call one day, and unbeknownst to me, from a band called The Association. And I said, the association of what? And these guys had done Cherish and Windy and Never My Love. And, you know, I remember those songs from the dentist office. So I went out to California to meet them, and they were looking for a manager, and someone recommended me. And what happened was that I decided to put together, package these bands, the Turtles and the Grassroots and the Monkees. And, you know, I started getting the packaging business. And 1986 really was my first big year where I brought the Monkees back. And unbeknownst to me, MTV was on the 7th and 8th floor. And they decided they're going to play 24 hours of Monkees TV shows. So I run upstairs to see the heads of MTV. And I remember going to see Bob Pittman. He was the president of MTV. And I said, Mr. Pittman, it's David Fischoff. And you see me in the elevator every day. Oh, you're the sports agent. I said, yes, but I'm doing the Monkees. He says, sit down, kid. He says, you know, we're going to be broadcasting 24 hours of Monkees. And if you help me promote my fledgling network, MTV, and all your ads, I'll promote you on my new network. So I said, great, let's work together. Unbeknownst to me, I go on sale. And I went on sale in all these amphitheaters. And I would do these Happy Together tours until 3,000-4,000 people. I go on sale with the Monkees, and I sell 25,000 tickets in Detroit, 30,000 in Chicago. It's incredible. Texas Stadium sold out. What happened was that every little girl watching MTV thought the Monkees was a new band. and they would go out and buy tickets all night and wait online. And they came home and the mother said to them, "Where were you all night?" And the young lady said, "Mommy, I was buying monkey tickets. Oh, I want to go." I mean, you know who the monkeys are?
It's a nostalgia thing for the mom. The girls think it's a brand new thing.
So the first 20 rows were the young girls, and then their mothers are all in the back screaming. And that was really my start, because that same year, the New York Giants, I represented 8 of the New York Giants, the whole offensive line, and Jim Bird, and Phil McConkie, and Phil Sims, and Navarro, and all those guys, they went to the Super Bowl. So that was a crazy year for me. And then 87, the Giants again, I had my players, and I decided I'm going to do another monkeys tour. And then 88, I came up with the idea to do Dirty Dancing and make that into a live tour. I'd seen the movie, I'm from the Catskills, and I said, you know, this will make a great theater show. So I booked at a Radio City Music Hall. And again, you know, I sold out 8 sold out shows at Radio City Music Hall with one ad. Dirty Dancing was so hot. So then I would keep coming up with ideas. And from a business point of view, my business model was I would go to corporate America, get them to sponsor my tours. And Chunky did the monkeys, and Mountain Dew, they did Dirty Dancing. And the reason these companies wanted to get to sponsor these tours was they wanted the publicity. They wanted the meet and greets. They could bring their customers to meet the artists beforehand. This was all before Live Nation. And they wanted the signage on the artist stage. You know, years later, but the president of Pepsi approached me and he said, you know, we love what you do. We love how you package tours. You know, do you have any new ideas? It's the 25th anniversary of the Pepsi generation. So I said, yeah, I'm going to come back to you with some ideas. And I remember ordering a Diet Coke at lunch. How crazy of me, but
I hope he didn't see that.
So. He laughed, you know, we laughed. And he says, boy, Dave, that means we have a lot of work to do. So I came back to him about a month later. I said, I have this idea. I have a few different ideas, but one idea I like the most is I always wanted to create an all-star band around Ringo and call it Little Help My Friends. And why not put an all-star band around him? And he says, you got it. He says, we like that idea. We'll back you. So I wrote a letter to Ringo Starr, to his lawyer. And 6 months later, he responded to me. And his lawyer said, why don't you come over to England and you can meet him? I said, sure. And I went and make a pitch to him. So I went over there, made a pitch to him. And he says to me, I was thinking the same idea. And together, we put together the All-Star Band. I came with my ideas. Naturally, I came with Billy Preston because I figured he played with the Beatles. And he had his ideas of Levon Helm. And I came with Clarence Clemons. And we worked this together. And that tour was amazing, you know, Joe Walsh and Dr. John. And there was nothing like that 89 tour. And we toured the United States. We toured Japan. And, you know, after the fourth show, these artists who are really older than me, you know, I'm not the hip guy. You know, what am I? You know, these guys they're all friends and they all respect each other. And I was a young promoter putting it all together. So after the fourth show, I'm having dinner with the president of Radio City because Ringo said, oh, we'll play Radio City. I invited the president of Radio City to come see the show. And Clarence Clemons walks by and he says, Bischoff, I'm out of here. I said, what are you talking about? He said, this idea is stupid. It's not going to work. You can't take all these people from each band and create an all-star band. You know, it's one thing if you want to do, we could do a benefit. But for us to go on tour, it's not working. Joe Walsh and Levon Helm are having a fight. I turn to my right and there's Nils Lofgren. And he walks by and says, Bischoff, I'm out of here too. Now, I had mortgaged my house. And all I could see, the vision in my face was, in my mind, was my house going down the Hudson River. You know, as a promoter, we take chances. So I said, let's go find Ringo. And Ringo was nowhere to be found. So the security guard said, you better go in there and straighten out this fight or your tour is going to blow up. I walk in and there's Joe Walsh with a knife and blood and Levon Helm with a glass bottle and blood. And they're screaming at each other. And I walk in scared. Now, if you want to see what happens, you got to see the movie. Rock Camp, the movie, because you see the scene in the movie, but it was incredible.
And but you got punked. Let's cut to the chase.
I got punked on this one. So badly. But you know what? I learned to realize how much fun these guys had on the road and they were together. And I said, if I could create this for the fan to let people see what these rock stars are like and they're amazing people, they're talented. And that's how I came up with the idea of Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. So Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp was born 25 years ago. I started doing these camps and slowly but surely. And then one day I decided I was going to get married and I was getting married again. And I have kids. I have grandchildren. I love kids. So got married again, had kids. And I decided that the road is no longer for me place to live. And so that's when I came up with the idea. I mean, I'll keep doing my camps and they were fun. So I've been doing it 25 years. And I want to get to that question that you asked about corporate America, because to me, that's really a brilliant question. Why? I had the owner of Oracle, his wife bought him the camp. Gentleman named Ed Oates. She said, take your whole band, Ed, and you come to the camp. He comes to the camp. And the first day he walks in and he says to the rock star counselor, it was Bruce Kulick from Kiss. He says, Bruce, we want to do this song and by the band. Matter of fact, they want to do the song by the band and the Beach Boys. And he said, excuse me, sir, I got to teach the song to five other people. And he basically told the guy, relax. And I don't care if you're the owner of Oracle. I don't care if you start Oracle. This is a band and we're going to learn it together. By the time he left camp after 4 days, he turned to me and says, you know, this is the greatest team building experience I've ever had. I never used to learn to listen. And the key to being in a band is to listen. That's really what makes the band successful, is to listen to what everybody else is doing. And so he's the one who came up with this idea. He says, why don't you do this for corporate America? Why don't you create team building programs? And one of the most fascinating things that we do at Rock Camp is we go into corporate events after they lecture them an entire day of marketing and sales. And about 4 o'clock, they send them into a room with a band. They get a backstage pass. They walk into a room and our team building event starts with the band. They start playing a song. And then I get up there and I said, ladies and gentlemen, say hello to the drummer from Black Sabbath, Vinny Appice. Say hello to the great bass player, Rudy Sarzo. Say hello to Lita Ford. Say hello to this rock star. You see these 8, 9 rock stars up here? Well, today it's going to be your turn to be a rock star. So if you got a pass, and with a blue pass, you're going to go into a room with Miss Lita Ford, and you're going to rewrite the lyrics to her song. And then you're going to come back here after you come up with a name of your band, you practice some choreography, and you're going to perform in front of these rock stars and your executives. And these rock stars are going to play behind you. Now, I got to tell you, for 90 minutes, these people go into a room. They write about their competition. They write about everything, their bosses, you name it. And they get creative. So number one, they get to perform. They learn how to perform. They learn how to write. They learn how to choreograph. They come together as a band. It's an amazing team building experience. So that's where I've been able to take music and Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp into corporate America.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. You have just given me an incredible history. And I hope people play this back and just listen to the last 20 minutes and just sit there and go, okay, this is a life that's been lived. And the experiences that have come out of it and the things that you learned are incredible over God knows how many years. But the one word that came out of the whole thing that really struck me is people want nostalgia. People want to feel the good times. They want to remember the good times. They want an experience that's going to give them something that they can sit there and internalize and be able to think about the rest of their lives that say, you know what? I risked a little bit, but look at what I got for it.
So Ben, there's a song that you're going to learn at camp or that you hear at camp. Everyone has one song that reminds them when they were at that time in their life. And there's a program I did, I don't know, 20 years ago now. It's called the Hoffman Institute. I went away to a place up in Northern California. And you can Google it, hoffmaninstitute.org. And I went away for 7 days and I went to work on David. You know, whoever works on yourself for 7 days, you know, people go to therapy. This was a program I went for 7 days and I immersed myself into my good, my bad, whatever I learned from my parents. You know, our parents give up positive traits, negative traits. And it was the most incredible thing and it changed my life. The one thing I like to do at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp is to take everyone back to their childhood before they ever got hurt. Before anyone ever hurt them, and bring out that passion before they were hurt. And, you know, we just did 160 masterclasses during COVID, Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. I interviewed Roger Daltrey, interviewed Styx, you name it, the biggest rock stars, managers, music managers, talent, record executives. You know, we told people that come on Zoom, we're going to ask a question, you'll pay you money for the question. The artists would give the money to their charities, they would keep it, or whatever they wanted to do. Some Styx and Scorpions gave the money to their crew. And we interviewed Alice Cooper. And the greatest thing was, we said to them, 1 hour. Well, I remember texting Alice and I say, Alice, can you stay on longer? Because people have more questions. And he says, I got nowhere to go. You know, this was still a time where These artists thought they were never going to perform again. They didn't know. They were just giving out information. The one common denominator that every one of these 160 classes had was passion. They all had passion. And unless you have passion in your life, you got nothing. So I'm not, and you know, why was I a sports agent one time? Then I went into music. Why did I tour? And then went into camps. The minute I lose passion, I'm going to find something else to do. You know, maybe I'm blessed that way, but to me, I got to be passionate what I do. So every morning I wake up and try to create another camp, whether it's going to be a songwriting camp, whether it's going to be a women's only camp, whether it's going to be a heavy metal camp, a classic rock camp, you name it. I try to be creative every day and keep that passion in myself. So if there's one message that I hope that people get today is to get passion back in their lives, because that will keep you living many years.
And that passion, especially during COVID, I have found that so many people have lost the passion in their life. People have sat there and say, well, I can't do anything about it. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I'm stuck in my house. I'm scared to go and do this, this, and this. And they've lost their passion. So how do we help people?
And then in the live music world.
Absolutely. The live music world has been devastated.
I am in the worst business you could be in during COVID because we couldn't operate. And now you only operate if you're vaccinated. So we've cut our audiences. We lost 40% because only 2% are vaccinated. So how do you get it back? Well, I think it's you have to find within yourself, well, what makes you passionate. And whether it's playing an instrument, a lot more people are picking up guitars during COVID. We saw that. We saw our sales go through the roof, you know, once they announced COVID was over in the summer and then this Omicron came. But I think once this goes away, we'll find it again. But I think people should find something, a hobby, something that they can do that can give them passion in their lives.
You're right. It's those little things. It's appreciating little things in our lives. We all sit there and say, well, I can't do this. I can't do this. Okay, you can't do this, but you can do this. There are so many things that you still can do. Even down to these conversations, I have been so blessed. Like February 2020, I was supposed to speak around the world. I had keynotes in Australia, in Europe, through the Caribbean, through the United States, a year, year and a half worth of keynotes that were gone in 72 hours. 72 hours in March, gone. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work. God knows how many miles on airplanes, all the experiences that went with it. But you have to sit there and say, okay, that's gone. Now what do I do now?
Write a book.
And that's what I did. I actually did. I wrote a book during COVID. We have to sit there and say, what's next?
So many of the artists, they couldn't tour. They wrote music. They stayed home. Today, you can record in your house a full album. Albums were being made. You know, find other things to do, whether they were writing for movies, for television, for their own albums. People can shift. I mean, I've shifted my career from sports into live music and then to camps and then I'm always open to shift and not to be afraid. Yes, it's scary. There's no question there's a fear factor. But I worked on a movie and that was the hardest thing I've had to do because, you know, I know the live music business. I know what to do. Enter the world of making a movie. That was really hard, but it took 5 years. But we made a hit movie. And again, you just have to keep finding your passion.
And so when you're working with these underground, passionate people that love their music, they're never going to be on stages with 100,000 people. They're never going to tour around the world, but they love their music. And you bring these people together for 3 or 4 days to create this experience. How do you help make that experience personal for each and every one of them? Because that's what you're building. You're building something that they can't get on their own. You're giving them this fantasy life and this experience that they'll never be able to replicate in any other way. So first of all, bring them together. And second of all, elevate them to a way that when you finally put them up on a stage together and the lights go down and the stage lights come up, how do you get them to the point where they sit there going, I'm ready?
Okay, so I'm going to go backwards on the question because I don't want to lose my thought here. When you play your instrument with people that are better than you, it makes you better. So if you get to jam with a Jeff Beck, you get to jam with a Rudy Sarzo, you get to jam with any one of these rock star counselors or mentors at Rock Camp, it obviously elevates your game. You immerse yourself in this experience for 4 days, but it's not only the 4 days. It starts from the day you sign up. You're given a letter saying you're welcome to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. If you're a beginner, learn these songs. If you're intermediate, learn these songs. So people start automatically learning because they're going to be playing with the songwriter. They're going to be playing with the Scorpions. you know, for 5 months before, they're taking music lessons. We offer master classes. So they start where they lose weight. They buy clothes, whatever they're going to do. Because they're going
to get a big funky hat so they can look like Slash.
Right, because they're going to be performing on that big stage. So Rock Camp, the minute they sign up, they start getting into the excitement of the camp. You know, they're joining a band with people that they never met before, but people have the same likes in music because they fill out a form. We know where they are. We pre-interview them on Zoom. And now with the world of Zoom, the bands get together for a few weeks before camp and they decide what songs they're going to play with the artists. So they're coming to camp to an Aerosmith camp with Joe Perry. They're going to play these songs with Joe Perry that from Aerosmith that they've agreed to play. And they learn them. And by the time they come to camp, they perfect them. And the counselors perfect them and they take master classes and they take jam rooms. They immerse themselves in this experience and they see the love of the musicians because the rock stars who come to Rock Camp, you know, once they all come together, it's not about the money. It's about, hey, I was like you. I'm going to show you how to get that passion, how to get it. And you learn from these people. I mean, you know, in the case seen in the film, Tony Franklin, he gives you, you know, he's one of the greatest musicians, bass players in the world. He plays a fretless bass. I mean, a fretless bass. I mean, you got to be a genius to play that. And he teaches beginners. You see Rudy Sarzi, you see Teddy, you see just these amazing teachers, and they give you that passion. And then you start to see these people put their pants on the same way you do. And then here's my number and call me and let me show you how to record. And we have so many masterclasses where the people walk out of there writing songs and they become a band. And, you know, I have so many stories. I mean, while you see four of them in the movie, each one has a story, but one comes out to mind is a lady calls me up. She says, you know, my father, he went to your camp. He never played in a band before. He had a guitar teacher on Saturday mornings. He left your camp and he's been in a band. He formed a band from the campers. He said, well, David, you should come and surprise him at his first gig. I show up to the gig. The drummer has a 15-piece drum set, two basses. Guitar player's got Marshall amps all the sky with about 10 guitars. The bass player has five guitars, you know.
So they've gone serious on this thing.
They take it so serious and they find their new passion in life. And, you know, nothing like making music. So one thing I love about camp, and not only do I make new friends at every camp, but I'm changing lives every day. And I think the power of music can do that because it gives these people the passion in their lives. That's how we do it. You come to camp. And by the way, it's not easy. And I say it's not easy. If I give you a layup, you're going to say, why do I have to come to camp? But if I'm going to put me through two live performances and a recording studio and writing a new song and jamming with Joe Perry and jamming with Melissa Etheridge, you're going to work hard, but it's a good hard.
Let's take it to the next level because you brought in these new clients. You gave them an amazing experience. How do you continue the relationship with these people? Because that's the thing with business. You can wow somebody once, but it's wowing them over and over again. So either they become, you know, repeat guests at different camps, or they're the ones that refer you to the new level of people that come into the camp. How do you continue that relationship? Because that's what a lot of companies miss out on. They miss on how do you continue that experience and keep that love between them and the company that you work for?
One of the issues I have is that the good thing is that once they come to camp, 50% of them come back. Our return campers are amazing. The biggest problem you do have is you have the fear factor. You know, you have the wife who buys it for the husband and he says, I can't come. I'm afraid. You know, he won't say he's got, they use the cancer word. I hate to say it, but my brother has cancer. My mother has cancer. My guitar has cancer. My drum set has cancer. They just throw the word around. I said, you're coming to camp. Whether it's not this camp, you'll come to the next camp. So they end up usually coming, but 50% of our campers come back. Now, I do these masterclasses, so they come. That's really why we initiate these masterclasses, to keep our campers involved. But, you know, I try to do as much as I can to return campers. Many of them come back. It's the guy who goes to the therapist and every day. And finally, he calls me up. He says, David, I got to come to camp. I said, why are you coming back after 3 years? He said, I go to a therapy session every day. And my therapist says, I tell him about how great Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. And he says, well, you got to go back. And after taking my money for 3 years, he says, go back to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. But I do love that. To me, it's really about that. We interviewed a lady. She came to the camp, didn't make the film, but she was a lawyer. And I asked her afterwards, and I said, so you left Rock Camp. What happened? Did you get depressed when you left? She said, yes, I got a little down, but I ended up writing a book called Rocking the Pink and telling my story. And I published it. I ended up writing a song, and it got the last spot on Billboard. But more important, David, I learned from these rock stars to be authentic. And I swore I was never going to be a lawyer again. and I quit my law job and I became a writer. I write fiction. That was always my passion, to write fiction. And I've written 14 books and I'm number one on Amazon. And I changed my name to Lauren Rowe. And I said, well, that's great, because that's really what it is for me. So I love that people question themselves and they'll come away from camp and say, you know, maybe I could change my job and find something that's more passionate. You know, whatever it is. And something happens when they go through that magic of camp. Just like I went through that Hoffman process. And that's when I changed my whole goal of life of getting off the road, being a family man. You know, when you manage these big talents, as I was doing, I'll never forget my daughter and my kids would ask me questions. And I'd say, and was I present? No, I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't present. You know why? Because I was thinking about Joe Walsh calling me from a theater, you know, or Phil Simms calling me after the coach messed up with him, you know, or wasn't fair to him. Or whatever it was we do as managers and as agents, we hear our players, we hear our talent. I wasn't present. So then I learned to become present. And now I have teenage kids and I had, thank God, I got 5 kids and I got 8 grandchildren. And, you know, to me, that's, you know, I'm present with them and I entered their lives and it's stuff that I didn't have years ago. And I got to tell you, I love it.
We all learn, hopefully learn to be present at some point in our life. Some of us are lucky enough to get it earlier. Some people like me, still working on it. But you know what? We're getting there.
Ben, it's always a work in progress.
Absolutely.
Always a work in progress. But, you know, now I love doing homework. I love taking my kid to a ball game and just realizing what's more important to me. Again, you find it. As you get older, it helps.
David, we could talk for another hour. But you know what? I want to leave it here because I think that understanding that there's experience, there's being present, and there's the ability to change your life is an incredible thing that we all can be something different. We all can get to that point of our lives where we're sitting there going, okay, I've done this for the last 25 years, but that doesn't need to be the next 25 years. And be able to realize that the opportunity to make those changes and reinvent ourselves can happen at any point in our lives. I think that's where the real magic is.
Ben, that's why I did the movie. I want to talk about the movie for 2 minutes. I really think it's important for people to see this movie, Rock Camp. It's on Amazon, it's on Apple, and it's on Amazon Prime. You can find it on the Apple Store. My goal for the film wasn't really to show, yes, we show Rock Camp and 25 years of Rock Camp. Well, and you see how these people go through life-changing experiences, you know, through music. But if you decided to create an app, if you decided you want to go into fashion, if you want to be a writer, if you want to do a podcast, whatever you want to do, you can relate to life-changing experience through Rock Camp, because you'll see in the movie that while these people did it through music, you can do it too. And really, that's one of the reasons, that's the greatest thing I love about the film. I want people to walk away with that passion of that they can change their lives.
Well, I know that there is a highlight reel for the film. I'll make sure that it's in the show notes. The best way to get in touch with you is through rockcamp.com, correct?
Absolutely. David at Rock Camp. I love to hear from your listeners and David at rockcamp.com. I love to respond to people. It might take a day or two, but I will get back to them. And, you know, that's really what my passion is. I can't tell you how to play an F note. You'll learn that at camp. But anybody who has a good idea, I'd love to listen to them.
Well, here's my last question. And this is a question I ask everybody as I let them out the door. When you get off stage and you get your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. You know what? You have to put time into it. You have to put a lot of hours in. That's how you get lucky. You prepare yourself. That's my favorite saying. And my last favorite saying is, I think for this show, is on my desk, it says, in 100 years from now, it won't make a difference how much money you have, what kind of car you're going to drive, how big your home is. The only thing that will make a difference is how you treat a child. And that to me is really my message.
David, you did not disappoint. It was an incredible interview. I loved it. I'm going to be sitting rereading this thing and listen to it again. And you know, especially those first 20 minutes of the history of your life going, oh my God, this is a man who's sucked the marrow out of life. So thank you for being such an amazing guest.
I appreciate it. And thanks for having me, Ben.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?